God is good. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that the words coming out of my mouth today are going to be your words and not my words. Thank you for touching everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's funny, Zoe asked me, she goes, we have to write down the title of our sermon so that she can put it in the computer. And I didn't have a title. And I was standing there. I was like, oh, perception is not reality. That's such a kind of vague and yet very pointed statement. There's many people that I could say don't understand things, but then I have to look at myself and go, oh, maybe I don't understand things. When you go through life, the best thing to do is always go directly to the source, which is God. And the problem is, a lot of times we try to figure things out in our own wisdom based on our own knowledge and understanding and based on what we're told and what we learned. But the problem is that's flawed because it's based on knowledge from that men have come up with and not what God has come up with. You know, we may see a solution and it may look good to us, but then God has a better solution. So perception is not reality. I guess I could say perception is not always reality, or rarely ever is. I'll just get into it. I'm going to read from Mark 7. So it was interesting because I was reading it in the King James, and I got to a certain point, and when I get to that point, I'll let you know, but I was like, I just don't understand what that means. God, you have to explain to me what that means because it makes absolutely no sense. And then the next morning, I got up and I read it in the Greek, and I'm like, oh, good old King James. He messed it all up, and that's why it didn't make any sense because he put a bunch of hooey in there. It was like they added some words, kind of rearranged some words, and I'm like, as much as I'm praying about this, it just does not make any sense in my mind. I can't, and it's because it was inaccurate. So the King James is probably the most accurate of all the translations, but it's still got some problems. So if you are reading something and it doesn't make sense, first ask God. Second of all, go back to the Greek, which when I say Greek, I mean it's written in English, but directly translated from the Greek. Because I don't read Greek. Maybe one day. I'm learning Spanish right now. I'm pretty good at it. There are other people. This is total non sequitur. It's funny, and Mary gets on to me about this. I'm doing it, and they sort of make it competitive, so people will, it's like a little thing on your phone, and you do it, and you compete against other people to learn Spanish faster. And I'm like, first of all, that's dumb, because you just need to learn it. You know, it's like, if you're doing it faster, then you're not really paying attention. And I find that. I'm like, I'm all worried about getting it done quickly so I can beat the other guy. And I'm like, well, no, I need to slow down and pay attention to what I'm doing so that I can learn. And that's the way it is with God. You need to slow down. Don't just read through it, go, I read my Bible for the day. Whatever, sorry, now I lost my place. I read my Bible for the day quickly just so I could do it. Yeah, just slow down and spend some time with God. Hey, there we are, right where I needed to be. So anyways, I gripe. Mary tells me not to gripe, and it's because I'll get on there and I'll be like in first place, and then I'll get on the next day I'm like in last place, and I'm like, how do you people have all this time to go, you know, earn 90,000 points? I've got like 200. And I'm like, hallelujah. So anyways, again, totally non sequitur, but you know, God, when we're with God, we need to just slow down and just spend time with him because it's precious. I've wasted so much time on this world. You know, it's like, just waste time on God. It's good to waste time with God. Because he's got it all planned out. And if you're wasting time with him, then you got a leg up on everybody else. So, there's some things in this, in Mark 7 that I know I've read it before. I've probably read it many times. And it's like, but when God's showing you stuff in life, things just jump out at you. And you go, oh, that's what you meant by that, and it just never stood out before. So this is a neat passage. And the Pharisees were assembled to him, also some of the scribes coming from Jerusalem. So It's funny. I don't know why I always think this. When I always think of the Pharisees and the I always think of the world, and it's not, because it's not the world. It's the church. The church is coming after Jesus because he's saying things they don't agree with. Because generally when I'll say this. When I talk to people that are of the world, I always thought, I'll even say this. I won't tell. Ian said something yesterday. He's in Japan right now, and some guy was talking to him, and he was talking all about him. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." And he's like, "Well, I don't know that word." He's like, "You know, Christian." And he goes, "Oh, you believe in the Jesus?" He goes, "But you're so nice." And I'm like, "Oh, I had no idea that a lot of Christians are not nice to people. I didn't know that." Because, I mean, I've grew up in this church. This is the only church I've ever known. I've visited a few other churches, and they're generally, you know, milk. So it wasn't interesting to me. I'm like, golly, I learned this in Sunday school. Why are we still here? I should be growing up. But it's my naivety, because it's funny. I when I grew up, I could pick people out. I go, that person's naive, and that person's naive. And I realize I'm naive, and I didn't realize it. I'm like, I don't understand, you know, I mean, where people are coming from. Because they, I mean, like, how could you hate me? I'm here. I love you. I'll love you for whoever you are, whatever you do. I don't understand that. And then I realize, oh, other people aren't that way. And it's not because they're wicked or evil. It's because they have a wrong picture of God. They're religious. They're not, you know, they know who God is, but they don't know God. And when you're religious, it's just motions. And it's like, I have to go to church today. And it's funny because that was actually a question I had a couple weeks ago. I was like, why do you go to church? What's the point? What is the point of getting up in the morning on Sunday and going to church? And last week I taught in Dallas, and Tom Murray said to me, he goes, man, everything you said, because I always go on these rabbit trails, and he goes, I love all your rabbit trails. They're exactly the things that God puts in my mind and I have questions about and I pray about. And he goes, I like it when you do that. And he was talking, and he's like, you know, that was a blessing to me. And I'm like, that's the whole point of church, is for us to get together. I mean, some of us get together on Wednesdays and fellowship, but you should fellowship with the body, because if you're in your own head too much, you lose sight of who God is. You know, you need to be together. And you come to church so that you can fellowship, and then you can hear the word, and you can be built up. And then it's good. I mean, you should be in the Word every day, but we don't. You know, I mean, I know I'm not in the Word every day. I try to be. I should be. I'm a pastor. But it's a blessing. It's a gift to be in the Word every day. But sometimes we just, you know, we get up late, and then we have to go to work, and then you get home and you're tired, and your three-year-old with all her endless energy wants to play, and you're tired. And you just, you know, so you just have to come up with a little bit of God. So... but it's okay, because God doesn't care. I can't remember if it was. It's just God wants you where you're at. He's not wanting you to be religious. I know I said last week, and I've said this. My new favorite saying from Jesus is, you know, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. We're always constantly trying to pigeonhole God into what we think we need to do. You know, this is right. This is what's right because it seems holy. And that's ridiculous. God knows you have a real life, and God knows everything you're going to do, and he just wants to be part of it. He's not like, you have to do all this for you to be a good Christian. That's dumb. You know, you just live your life and just make God the center of it. So, all right. Seeing some of his disciples eating bread, so the scribes and the Pharisees, and they saw some of his disciples eating bread with unclean hands. This is so funny to me. It's like, anyway, that it is, let's see. They're eating bread with unclean hands, that is unwashed hands. They found fault with them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they have washed their hands with the fist, holding the tradition of elders. Coming from the market, they do not eat unless they wash themselves, and there are many other things which they receive to hold, washing the cups, washing the utensils, the bronze vessels, the couches, which means tables. The Pharisees and the scribes questioned him and saying, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, eating bread with unwashed hands? I mean, to me, it always comes back to God. God is very practical. And when he tells you something, in the Old Testament, it talks about not eating dairy and meat together, but that was just a practical thing. And yet the Jews have made a religion out of that. If you go to a Jewish restaurant in Israel, there's the meat side and the dairy side, and you can't have a dairy product and go over and sit with somebody who's eating a meat product. It's against their religious law. And it's like, no, it just means that if you eat dairy and meat together, you know, you'll probably get an upset stomach because they don't digest the same. That was God being practical. He's like, hey, I got some wisdom for you. You know, if you notice your stomach is upset, stop eating dairy and meat together so much. So, but that was, you should wash your utensils and wash your hands. Why? Because you probably have germs on them. And if you touch your food and you put it in your mouth, it's just a practical thing. God's just saying, practically, you should probably do that. But you're making a law out of that. You're making it, if you don't wash your hands before you eat, you've sinned. That's stupid. I mean, sometimes it's not practical. Sometimes you have to, you know, walk through the field and pick some berries off the things to eat. It's not practical to go to the farmer, you know, who's 10 miles away. That's a, you know, another thing that happened with the disciples. You know, the Pharisees saw them eating the grain. It's like the religious people are what turns off a lot of the world, and they hate Christians because that's what they see. And I hadn't, my naivety, I had not seen that. I'm like, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and I'm like, and this is all good. And then people are like, God, I hate Christians and I hate conservatives. I'm like, why? Because I know me. I know my heart. I know that Jesus is in me, but I'm not everybody else. I love people for who they are. This world is a messed up place, and I can fight between wanting to destroy that person and just wanting to love them. Because when you want to destroy the person, it's because you're looking at them and their actions. And then when you want to love that person, it's because you're looking at them the way God loves them. They're missing the point. It's like if they're messed up, it's because they don't know the truth. And they've been either lied to or they've used their own personal wisdom to figure out what they think is right. And oddly enough, people are probably more accurate when they just don't listen to other people, because, you know, God puts us in a conscience, and, you know, he can talk to us if we're not listening to other people, letting other people put junk in our heads. They had unwashed hands and they were eating. And answering, he said to them, Isaiah said this well. Well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you, hypocrites, as it has been written, this people honors me with the lips, but with their heart is far away from me. So it's like, it's all outward. And that's built into man. It's built into man to want to look good. I mean, you don't want to look foolish. You don't want to look wise. It's just part of who we are. It's vanity. You know, it's vanity, just not wanting to look like an idiot or wanting to do things that are right. And the reason we do it is because we want people to praise us. And that's silly, but it's in us. I mean, I like people to say good things about me. I mean, I assume you guys are the same way. It feels good, but that's just vanity. And it's like when my friend Jason said to me years ago, he said, the only thing that matters is if Jesus loves you. It doesn't matter anybody else. My dad used to say, nobody loves you anyways. And it's true. We all love ourselves, and unless God is in us, we don't love anybody else. It's just because we're all selfish. And that's good to know. And then when you know that, and then you do love somebody else, you go, oh, God is in me. Hallelujah. God is in me loving that person. I love them unconditionally. It doesn't matter what they do. And that's a hard point to get to, is when people can wreck you, and then you just love them. And the next thing is, it's going to confuse the heck out of them, because they're like, why are you loving me? I just was evil to you. And you go, it's God in me. I got in the habit years ago when I would do good things, and I would just say, oh, that was God. I just don't even take credit for it because, first of all, the Bible says it. The Bible says everything we do is garbage, and if it's good, it came from God. So just immediately go, yeah, that was God. Because I always had this fear that I was going to be prideful. I don't want to be, you know, I don't know why. That was the one sin I never wanted to do. I don't want to be prideful. That was stupid. I'm still prideful. I'm proud that I'm not proud. It's just, you know, our what we think is right is usually skewed by what we've learned in life and what we've been told. I mean, our whole educational system is designed to wreck kids' brains so they can't think straight. It's sad. And it's all because men want to sin. And so the whole everything is like built on, hey, I want to sin, so I'm going to mess up all these people so that they, when they see me sinning, they think it's normal. And it's like, wow, just go sin. No, you know, just do your own thing. You know, it's our pride and our vanity that goes, well, I don't want somebody to look at me and go, that guy is doing evil. You know, so I'm gonna change his whole mindset so that he, when he sees me sinning, he thinks it's normal. It's like, I understand that. I don't. It's wicked. It's evil. It's selfish. Again, but that's who we are without Christ in us. And thank God we have Christ in us, and that's amazing. So we can just, you know. So I'm not even getting to the good part yet. Jesus is about to tell them what for. This people honors me with the lips, but with their heart they're far away from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Forsaking the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, washing the utensils and the cups and many other such things that you do. He said unto them, do you do well to set aside the commandment of God so that you may keep the traditions? So he's like, you know, God wants you. I mean, Jesus said the two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And if you're worried about your neighbor not washing their hands before they eat, is it because of the, you know, you don't want them to get sick? Or is it because that's the, you know, it's God's law? It's like God's like, you know, if you're wanting to bless them, that's one thing, but you're not wanting to bless them. You're worried that they're, they're worried that you're breaking some religious law that I don't even care about. That's the sad thing is we spend, I was thinking the other day, I was like, if you spend time with God and just hear from God, or you could spend your entire life devouring everything that's been written about God, and the guy that devoured everything that was written about God probably wastes his entire life because it wasn't for the right reason. The guy that just spends time with God and just wastes time with God, it's a heart thing. The guy that was devouring just wanted knowledge. He wanted head knowledge. You can know everything about God and not know who God is. And I know that because, I mean, I grew up my entire life in the church and I could give you all sorts of church answers. I can look the part of a Christian easily. Because I know all the Bible stories. I know what all the things you're supposed to say and how you're supposed to behave. And yet that's all pointless because that's not, God loves me for who I am. He loves you for who you are. He doesn't want you to change. When he wants something changed in you, he will change it. If there's something in you that shouldn't be there, he'll take it away. And it's just through a relationship. And that's the great thing. I mean, we when God shows you a sin, it's not for you to stop doing it. It's for you to know that that's the one he's taking care of next. And that's what's awesome. It's like, oh, I was so worried about that. You know, we weren't. That's the thing. When you sin, you might as well enjoy it. God's going to take it away. Just, you know, it's like, it's stupid. You feel bad about it. You're like, oh, I sinned. You're like, no, you wanted to sin. Stop pretending like you didn't want to sin. Sooner or later, the joy of that will go away and the sin will go away and you won't do it anymore. And it'll just be gone because that's God. That's what God. God's not interested in your sin. He's interested in a relationship with you. The sin is what keeps you from God. But Jesus already came and covered that, so that's a non-issue anymore. So I mean, sin is not an issue because the blood of Jesus covers it. You know, if we still had to do animal sacrifice, it would be a thing still. You know, oh, but we don't. For Moses said, Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and the one speaking evil of the father or mother, let him expire by death. But you say, this is the part that was confusing in the King James, but you say, if a man say to his father or mother, Corban, which is, it says here a gift, but it's like a sacrifice, then whatever does it profit me? For and then in the King James it adds a bunch of stuff and it's talking about freedom and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, doesn't make any sense. But it says right here in the Greek, it says, making the word of God of no effect because of your tradition which you delivered, and many such things that you do like. So and you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect by your tradition. So it's like God set something up, and then you made a religion, and you took the whole purpose of what God set up, and you polluted it so that you could keep a law instead of understanding the heart of God, which is to love us and to bless us and to give us peace and joy and to, you know, show us amazing things. And I set up this thing that said, honor your father and mother, and you'll have long life. And then you said, well, you know, you need to honor your father and mother so you'll have long life. And you made a law out of it. You know, my dad would always say that. He goes, you know, it's either a promise or it's a law. You know, we already know we can't keep the law. So God said, hey, I kept the law, and now it's a promise. So, you know, religious people will love laws. It's funny. I've noticed Christianity, real Christianity, Christians loving Jesus, is the only religion where you can continue to do bad and you know, be yourself, and God still loves you. Where every other thing is like, you do this, you do right. If you're out, if you don't, you're out. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, the Muslim religion, the Buddhist religion, you know, all, even the weirdo religions. You know, Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses, and you have to keep the law. It's all about works. And man and the thing with me is, I mean, people are either one way or another. Either you can do it and you're miserable doing it, or you can't and you go, I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to go off. And so our Christianity is the only, or, you know, knowing God is the only God that says, hey, I love you no matter what. You just be you and I'll work on you. Don't worry about fixing up. I think that's one of the saddest things, is when people think they need to fix up to come before God. It's like, first of all, you could never fix up enough to come before God, ever. So don't even try. So just come before God. I mean, we don't expect our children to do that. We don't expect them to, hey, go take a bath before you come. You stink, you know. Don't come before me. That's ridiculous. We're not that way. We love our kids. They can put honey on the table and you sit on it, or, you know, it was funny the other day. I was working in the garden and Gabby goes, can I step in the dirt? I said, no, you're going to get all dirty. And I turn around and I'm doing something. I turn around and she's stepping in the dirt. And I'm like, I told you not to step in the dirt. You're not supposed to get dirty. We're about to eat dinner. It's so funny. But, you know, I love her. Doesn't matter. It's, you know, that's the way God is. God tells us not to do something and we immediately eat the apple. Don't eat of this apple. It won't bless you. Okay. God turns around. We're eating the apple. It's like, it's so dumb. It's like he just told us not to eat the apple. But God already knew we were going to do it. And he loves us anyways. And he provided. You know, he knew we were going to do it. And then he provided a solution for us doing it. You know, he provided his son so that after we ate the apple, that it's so, we take things so serious. And it's like, God, I don't know. Anyway. So these guys were making a religion out of it. So calling all the crowd near, he said to them, all hear me and understand. There is nothing from outside the man which entereth into him, which is able to defile him. But things going out of him, those are the things that defile a man. And I thought that was... I have read this passage. This one, that's the thing that blew my mind. It's like, it's talking about food. When you eat food, and we'll get to it. He talks about why, but it's like, it's amazing the polluted garbage that comes out of our mind and our mouth and our that we do with our hands. And it's like, it's not what goes in. It's what comes out. How are we able to do that? And we do it so easily. Sorry, this is not supposed to be a heavy message. I'm sorry. It's good because it doesn't really matter. God loves us for who we are, and God is cleaning us up every day. I guess that's the exciting part to me, is I've seen that in my own life. You know, it was hard because I grew up as a moralist. You know, I grew up in the church, so I was good and I behaved well and I didn't do anything outwardly wrong. So, and it took me a long time to deceive my depravity. And once you see your depravity, that's when you can start to grow, because you're like, I'm evil and God loves me anyway. And then that's freeing. It's like in Pilgrim's Progress, when he's carrying this huge burden on his back, and you're like, you find out you're evil, and you're like, oh, I'm evil. How am I ever going to not be evil? And then he gets to take the backpack off, and then it's just like this huge burden. That's what it's like. I don't know if you guys have ever been hiking or whatever, and you're carrying something heavy. I do it all the time in my business. I'm always carrying up plywood or sheetrock, and it's heavy. And then you put it down, and you just feel so light. It's like, that's what's when you realize that the sin, Jesus died, and the sin is no longer a problem. And it's like, all that's left is just, if Jesus gets rid of all the problems, he said, I've taken care of your sin. You don't have to worry about what you eat. You don't have to worry about where you're going to live or what the clothes you're going to put on your back. I've taken care of all that. So then there's nothing left. There's just you and relationship. That's it, just relationship with God. If all your problems, the things that will bother you here on earth, which is food, clothing, place to eat, and then sin, which is going to keep you from God, if God took care of all that, then there's nothing less for us to do but just have a relationship with him. And that's exciting, because you can just, you don't have to worry about doing something. You just be there. Just be with God. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he entered into the house from the crowd, and the disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you also so undiscerning? It's like, man, it's like you're with me every day and you don't understand what I'm saying. I think he already knew that they didn't know. I mean, I know he knew that they already didn't know. But he's like, come on, guys, you're my disciples. Do you not perceive that all that enters from the outside into the man is not able to defile him? This is because it does not enter into his heart. It is into his belly. So, you know, anything, that's it. I mean, that's everything. So what comes out of us is spiritual. What goes into us is just food and whatever we're putting it in. It's what we do with it when it comes back out. You know, it's what we say to people, how we edify people. You know, it's good to just build people up, even if they don't deserve it. Just build them up anyways. This world, I mean, on a completely selfish thing, this world would be a better place if just people were just nice to people. You know, not because Jesus is in us to do it, just be nice to people. But you are nice to people because Jesus is in you. You see people hurting. Like, whenever I see somebody walking through a parking lot and they're limping, I always pray for them. I don't walk up to them and go, hey, can I pray for you? I just pray for them. Why? Because that's God in me. God sees that person hurting, and I see that person hurting, and I want them to not hurt. I've been there. I've been times where, you know, I had an old injury from when I was young, and periodically it'll come back up, and I'll be dragging myself through the parking lot because it hurts. I don't want people to hurt physically or spiritually. That's something that I wrestle with a lot is healing, because Jesus did it weird every time. You know, we're going to get into this part, you know, but sometimes he would put mud in people's eyes. I'm like, man, that would take a lot of faith to take some mud and rub it in some guy's eye. I mean, like, I think that would do more damage than good. You know, it's like, I want to understand that, because a few weeks back I was talking about being led by the Spirit, being ruled by the Spirit, not even led, just being ruled by the Spirit. It's like we have no idea. God has so much designed for us and planned for us. Like Jeff was saying, Peter walked on water. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it was Monty. One of you guys said that. And it's like we don't have a clue. When God wants something done, our physical understanding of this world is not important. God will get it done. I think it was Philip that got physically transported from one place to another so that he could talk to, the Ethiopian guy, and then got taken back. That's just, God created this world. He can do whatever he wants. We're so locked into this world and our own understanding of it that it just slows us down. So that's why you got to get out of your own head and just spend time with God. This is because it does not enter into the heart, but into the belly, and it goes out into the waste bowl, purging all the foods. He said, passing out of man, the passing out of man is it defiles the man. For from within our heart, within the heart of man passes out evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, greed, desires, iniquities, deceit, lustful desires, a wicked eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All those evil things pass out from within and defile the man. So remember, Jesus said, even if you do it in your heart. So, and rising up from there, he went away into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entering into the house, he desired no one to know, but he could not be hidden. But hearing about him, a woman came up, one whose daughter had an unclean spirit, and she fell down at his feet. And the woman was a Greek of a Syrophoenician by race, and asked him. It's funny, we have these, I don't know if you guys know what arch books are, but they're little Christian books. And the old ones were really good, and some of the new ones have been rewritten. And we were actually reading this story the other night to Gabby, and I was like, and it was like, Jesus was really mean to her. And I'm like, what? I'm like, golly, you guys need to go back. And the new guys cannot rhyme, so the old ones were very well written so that they rhyme really nicely. And then the new ones, they're like, golly, you guys need to go back to school and learn how to rhyme better. It's like you're trying to figure out what their cadence was. Anyway, and the woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she asked him that he would cast out the demon from her daughter. And Jesus said to her, first allow the children to be satisfied, for is it not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs? And so I can get that's what they're saying. He was being mean, but he was making a point, and he's asking, and she answered to him and said, yes, Lord, for even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs of the children. And he said to her, because of this word, so she was a non-believer. She was not a Jew. She wasn't one of his followers. She was just a person who knew that he did good things. So when he's talking about dogs, he's talking about someone who had nothing to do with God. She was Syrophoenician. She had her own gods. And he's saying, you don't even believe in God, our God. God the Father. And he said to her, because of this word, go, the demon has gone out from your daughter. And going away to her house, she found the demon had gone out of her daughter and was laid on the couch. So he wasn't being mean. I mean, it's like all the people knew, like the Pharisees, not the Pharisees, the Samaritans. The Samaritans didn't hang out with the Jews. They were mortal enemies. They all knew, oh, you're this and you're that and you're that. Because it's all our perception. My favorite thing to argue people now is people will talk about the whole race thing, and I'll go, well, we all came from Noah's three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and one was dark, and one was medium, and one was light, and so we're all from the same family. So why are you guys arguing about that? It's dumb. It's like we all come from Adam and Eve. We all started from that, and then Noah, because everybody else was wiped off the face of the earth, and then we came from that. It's like when you use your own mind and you come up with all these dumb things, then you can hate people for that because it's some stupid thing that you came up with in your own mind, that this person's not as good as me because of this or that or whoever they are. It's like it's so destructive, and it's really all it is truly it's a distraction from the devil. Because if you're fighting that, and if you're worried about that, and if you're putting all your energy into that, into politics or, you know, or into being the best SJW there ever was or whatever, then you're not seeking God. Because you're interested in what's in front of you. What's in front of you is what's reality, and that's not reality because it's all built on lies. And again, going out from the borders of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the borders of the Decapolis, and they brought a deaf one to him, hardly speaking, and they begged him, and he put his hand on him, and taking him away apart from the crowd, he put his fingers in his ears, and spitting. I don't know where he spat, but he put his fingers in his ears and he spit, and he touched his tongue. And he looked up into heaven, and he groaned and said, "Ephphathah," which means "be opened." And instantly his ears were opened, and the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke correctly, and he ordered them that they should tell no one. And of course, immediately they do tell everybody, which it would be hard not to. You'd want to. That to me, that's going back to, it's like we don't understand, like, when I think about how do you pray for somebody to be healed? It's like you go and you do all these things, and it's like God says not to do it as the world will, you know, do things over and over again. You know, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, and be healed, and they'll rent their clothes. And, you know, Jesus put his fingers in his ears and spit on his tongue and said, "Be opened." You know, that was it. And he didn't say anything else. He didn't say, "Oh, Father in heaven, come down and touch this child." You know, he didn't. He just said, "Be opened." And it's like we don't understand who God is because we're not talking to God. We use our own wisdom. We try to, and I know I've said this before, but I believe that Jesus did things differently every time, so they couldn't make a religion out of it. You know, one time he used mud. One time he, you know, stuck the fingers in the ears. Like Jeff said that, you know, Peter walked by the lady and she was healed. You know, Jesus did things like that. It's different every time. You can't make a religion out of that. Somebody would say, "Well, here's the 10 steps to getting healed." You can't. The one step to getting healed is ask God, "God, how do I pray for this person? What do you want me to say?" And that just all comes from every question in your life should be. And it seems ridiculous, you know, what should I eat, what should I do, when should I get up, everything should just go through God. It makes life a whole lot easier. You're going to cut out a lot of the junk in your life, and things will be restful, peaceful, happy. Anyway. And they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "He has done all things well, and he makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Excuse me. Where I'm at is I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. And I know, I mean, he's like Jeff said, you are where you are because that's where God has you. And then you got to be comfortable in that. Like when Jeff said that, I mean, the first thing that popped in my mind was for 20 some odd years, I built up a business. And then God brought somebody in my life and he said, "I want you to go work with this guy." And I'm like, "God, I just wasted 20 years of my life building up a business, all this clientele and everything." And God said, "Well, no, I want you to work with this guy." I said, "Okay." And immediately all the business just, I mean, like people stopped calling. I wasn't, you know, and it's like God already knew what was going to happen, and he just shut all that stuff off. Because he'd already, if you listen to him, he already has it lined up. I didn't have to call everybody and go, hey, don't call me. Hey, don't call me. I'm not in business anymore. It just happened automatically. That doesn't happen. It was like, I remember years ago when I was asking, I was in business and I needed more work, and I was like, God, I need more work. I need lots of work. And he sent me so much work I couldn't handle it. And I was like, okay, God, that was the wrong question. Shouldn't have said, I need so much work. I said, God, give me the amount of work I can handle. And then it slowed down to a amount. And it's like, that's God. We just have to talk to him. We just have to ask him. We just have to spend time with him. Just, he knows what we need before we even ask him for it. He's just waiting for us to ask. It's like every time the Israelites would mess up, and he would just sit back and wait. And they go, oh, God, we messed up. And he'd be like, okay, good, that's all I needed to hear. I'm here. What do you need? What do you need from me? You messed up, and I forgive you. Let's go on. It's good. You guys are all so precious, every one of you. And I know you all have a... I hope you know what your calling is. I hope you know what your purpose is. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's... But it's not a big deal, because God... Remember, just God will show you. God will use you. Like the last few weeks I've been saying, just be a vessel. Just let God talk through you. Just let... I mean, and it's scary. It's scary when you go... You know, because you could either say something that could send somebody the wrong way and they end up going to hell, or you could, you know, say something and they... Anyway, and I'm just talking now. So I hope you guys were blessed today. God's desire is to just bless you every day. And I know you guys know it, because you guys have been here at this church for forever. But remember not to, I mean, the world seems like it's falling apart. And Mary and I keep having this discussion. It's like, the world is falling apart. And it is. I mean, it's insane. But it's like, but God's in control. So just relax and let's enjoy ourselves. I don't mean like go be foolish. I just mean be full of joy and peace. He's already got it taken care of. He can open and close doors however he wants. The Jews were always blessed, regardless of whether they were in bondage or, you know, whether the bad guys were in charge. Or half the time, the bad guys being in charge was better than their own people being in charge. I don't know how many bad kings there were. They were all, 9/10 of them were evil. You know, they didn't seek God. So it was like, so don't worry about this world. Just enjoy yourself. Enjoy God. That's a distraction. It's a distraction to keep you from spending time with God. Worry is not beneficial at all. I mean, I think it's in Matthew and in James. It says, you know, you can't add 1 minute to your life by worrying. It's a distraction from who God is and, you know, what God has for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the hearts that are here. That the reason we come to church is so that we can hear about you, so that we can grow, so that we can be edified. Thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. Thank you that we have a purpose, that we are warriors for you, but we're also your children, that you love us no matter what. Keep everybody safe as they drive today, and let all their conversations be edifying. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Hallelujah.